Okay. Welcome, everybody, to the December 18th, 2019 meeting of the Cambria Community Healthcare District. Please rise and join me in the pledge. Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a quorum, and in addition to having three people physically present, we have Iggy on the phone. And according to state regulations, that makes Iggy real. He's here as a board member. So we have four members.
Can you get the speakerphone closer to whoever's speaking, please?
It's breaking
up for me.
Oh, okay.
We can have you here, but we can't have you listening.
Yeah.
I can hear you now, just perfectly.
Okay, perfect. Are there any public comments on items not on the agenda? Okay. Let's move on to the consent agenda. We have the minutes of the November 20th board meeting, the ambulance activity report for the month of November, and the financials and budget analysis for November. We can pull items if we wish, or we can approve the entire list altogether.
Mike, are you going to cover the financials when we get
yes.
to your report? Okay,
mm-hmm.
That's fine.
There being no wish to pull anything, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move.
So moved.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, we have a 4-0 vote on that, and we're moving on to the reports. The first is the administrator's report and financial review. Mike?
I'm ready. It was actually part of the activity report per se, but I didn't put Tim's report on here. It would be part of my report, so I'd kind of like to have him start with his, just an overview of his report, and then I'll segue from that, if that's all right.
Tim, your report is on page 6.
Yes.
Thank you.
And you should feel free to summarize it and not, you know, necessarily
yeah,
read.
I've read it already, but if there's any highlights or questions.
I don't have any highlights. I just would ask the board if they have any questions on anything that's on there. It's pretty basic report this time. Any questions, comments?
Well, I have a question about the Lucas device trial. I don't understand what that is all about.
So we attempted to get 2 Lucas devices for a trial to get our crews back updated to them when they, since we were working on the grant for it. But the county EMSA department has decided not to allow that to happen. They don't want the automated compression devices in the county at this time. They've had an issue, a certain particular county has had an issue with them, and because of that, they're not allowing any agency in the county to do a trial until they can get that problem fixed. So we actually had Lucas's in our possession, ready to get them put in service, but the county, Dr. Renee, said no. And the Lucas, the reason why that's in there is because that's one of the items that Lori and I have been working on a grant for.
When you say you had it in your possession, does that mean that we will hold on to it until we can use it?
No, it's been sent back so that they don't become damaged or get misused or anything happens to them. So,
if we get county approval later,
I can get them back.
We can get it back very, very quickly. And I think we will. We just have to work on that.
So at this point, we're going to put in a request to fund one through the Firehouse subgrant in January with the hopes that this issue will be resolved within the next few months.
We're looking into it, too, that it's possible that the report that Dr. Renee and the county is looking at is for a different compression device that's on the market, not the one that we're looking, the Lucas device we're looking at. So we're trying to clarify with them, you know, is it all compression, automatic compression devices, or a specific one that had issues in another county, is what it sounds like, and may not apply to here. But we just need a little more time to analyze that and negotiate with them about that.
Any other questions? I'd like to personally thank Tim for everything he's done lately, including one item that was of special value to me. But he's really done a lot, and many of the things he's done are not listed in the report, but it's much appreciated. There is no president's report. Lori, do you have a healthcare advocacy report? Oh wait, I'm skipping. I'm sorry. You see, you gave the chair over to Tim, and I grabbed it.
So, with my administrator's report, I'll start off with a financial review. It's rather brief. Our financial report this month was pretty busy.
Could you tell us which pages you're
from? Oh yes. Figure that out. So I'm starting on page 18 of your, actually page 17 of your.
Can you say that page number more clearly, please?
Yeah.
17.
I turned you down.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm adjusting the volume a little bit. I turned you down because it was too loud, and now it's too low. So, can you hear us now?
Yep.
Okay. Much better. Okay, so page 17 starts there with a budget analysis. Excuse me. And actually, the next page on 18, we start looking at November. And the financial reports or the financial numbers look pretty good. What I like to actually, I want to kind of jump ahead a little bit. To a summary report on page 34, because that shows the budget and the actual. And what we've done, or what we show here, is that our revenue is down a little bit from budgeted 47 to 36,000. However, our general tax special assessment is up, and our expenses are down. So our total expenses of 143. Were budgeted, actual was 128 for a net of 14.8. One note on that is that 5,000 of that is actually because I inadvertently, as we in the prior board meeting alluded to, that I paid the fuel bill a month early. So that should have hit December. It's already been paid, so we were budgeted for it in December. So it's evened out over the 2 months. But that's why there's under fuel, there's a 5,000 negative variance. So if you take that off of the total expenses, we're sitting right about $10,000 in the positive. excuse me. One of the items on page 38, where it has the year-to-date totals and budgeted projections, one note is that the...
I'm sorry, I think you're on the wrong page.
You mean page 36?
36, I'm sorry. And you did send out an amendment.
Right, before we talk about 35, 35 and 36 were amended?
Correct. There's an amended sheet that was sent out subsequent to the original packet that shows the 5 month year to date budget actual. And then there's the overview sheet that looks like it's a landscape picture. And that's got the actual, or that has the actual numbers, the corrected numbers. We had some technical errors. One thing I wanted to note on that page is it looks, as you go down to contract services, in December, we had an increase, or it was higher than predicted, and that was due to Profit Max had an increase in collections, therefore we had an increase in payment to them. And also there was an amended bill from United Staffing Services back when Simone was a temp with them for us. They forgot to bill us and pay her for 1 week. There was a week missing out of the invoice. And they sent us a correction, and we made a correction in November. So that's one reason. Those two things added up to an increase in contract services. The other, just a note, which we'll hit actually in December's comment, but just so you, there was some question about an outstanding bill for the Best Buddies event. The check came today in the mail.
Okay.
Thanks to Simone, she's been burdocking that. And so that was $4,740 that came in today, thanks to her persistent nature. So, and that's pretty much it for financials, other than I got a detail in my ministry report, a little bit of a comment about the outstanding legal bill. We've reached an agreement to pay them our budgeted amount of $2,500 a month until our account is paid in full. I've received back an affirmative from them that that is acceptable, and we'll proceed with that. So we're going to work out a corrected invoice and a payment plan. And so, around here again. Just going through my further with my ministry report. I won't read everything, you've read it previously, but just to detail my activities. Trust update is one I wanted to comment on. I've been working with our local bank on the account. Everything's going well. We're not yet ready for us to cut them a check yet, but that's coming soon, and I'll let you know. We need to deposit a minimum of $500 to start the account. But I've asked them if they need that check yet. They said no, not yet. But as soon as that comes, they give me the green light on that. We'll do that. There's a later item on the agenda regarding the 10.3 application, so I'll defer that discussion for them to then. Monterey contract update. Been in conversation with both AMR and the county of Monterey EMSA, working on a new contractual agreement with them. Has not occurred yet. They're waiting to. They're getting themselves organized to have that discussion. To give you a brief overview of that, the county EMSA up there is considering whether we, as we move forward, whether we should subcontract AMR for that zone or contract directly with the county of Monterey for that zone. And they're trying to decide which direction they want to go. Whatever that decision is, that's the direction we will follow. So I'm waiting for word back. I left several comments or emails and phone calls with them last week. So waiting here.
Question on that.
Yes.
Would it be possible, you think, next month to have a sort of a cost evaluation of our cost of on our end that would give us guidance for whatever we might want?
I've started that process talking with him, trying to come up with a better figure for what does it cost us to provide service to that area, so that we obviously don't want to go with a negative to provide it. It's an essential service we need to provide, but we want to make sure that our costs are covered. So I'm already started working on that. Yes.
A question, does AMR ever respond to that zone?
Yes, quite regularly, actually. The problem with that is that AMR, the ambulance that is responsible for the coast, is also the one that's in Carmel. So if the ambulance from Carmel gets sucked into Monterey, Salinas, something like that, much like how we can get pulled into San Luis and that, then we get called up the coast.
Okay. What's the time from Monterey to? It seems like it. If all other things were equal, we would get to Southern Big Sur quicker than they would from Carmel. Is that true or not true?
I guess it would depend on traffic, but I would say it's probably true. Yeah. should probably, when we do this evaluation, just get a hold of the ECC in Monterey County and see if we can pull how many times that particular ambulance actually responds down the coast. Because that would be a good deciding factor also. It's like, how many times are they punting? Because they say they don't have somebody because they just don't want to send somebody down there only a unit that long? Or how many times a month are they actually sending the unit down there? How many calls does Monterey actually handle themselves? Because we're averaging roughly 1 to 2 a month. Is that all that's happening, or are there more? Mm-hmm. And we're not noticing.
The other interesting thing is, of course, seasonal variations to that may help us predict demand.
By the way, since Susie and I travel up to Carmel Highlands on a fairly regular basis, I can tell you that Lucia is the halfway point, and it takes about an hour to get from Carmel Highlands to Lucia, and then another hour to get to our house. Or actually to the outskirts of Cambria. So if it's further, if we're responding to a call that's closer to the Monterey County line, there's no way that AMR could get an ambulance from Carmel down to the Monterey County line faster than we could get from Cambria. Now, if we were all the way down in San Luis, then it's probably a toss-up.
Okay. Good to know.
But I have a question on that. If we contract with Monterey and it's in the middle of the night, we have one ambulance, and we get two calls, one from Monterey Dispatch and one from San Luis Dispatch, where do we go?
San Luis, that's our primary. We would tell them we don't have a unit available.
But if we have one en route to Carmel, or where, I mean, to Lower Big Sur,
and we're, let's say, outside of Cambria, heading north on Highway 1 by San Simeon or something like that, MedCom is going to automatically send San Luis ambulance into our area to respond to their call. They're not going to reroute us because MedCom is not allowed to reroute Code 3 traffic unless there's a closer unit. So if we were responding to a Code 3 call, we could cancel, then we would get rerouted to that call. But if we're already committed to that call and we're responding to that call, we're committed to that call for the duration of the call. Unless we were going to pass another ambulance that was responding to a call in our area, that's when that would happen.
But in the middle of the night, if we get a Monterey call, does San Luis ambulance, does the move up and cover kick in
yes.
at that point?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And those are all good points and concerns, and that's some of the discussion I would have. If Monterey does want to do something like that, there's going to be some long discussion about those kind of details mm-hmm. and costs, and you know, it's going to change the picture. Because right now, if we continue the way we are, which is quite possible, we're subcontracting AMR, we're helping them out. If we're not available, it's still AMR's responsibility for that zone. If we were to take responsibility for that zone, that's going to incur more cost, more responsibility, and I would reflect that to Monterey and see if they were in a position to support that financially in some fashion. So that's going to change the scope of the discussion significantly.
The other thing we've talked about, Mike and I, is that there could be times when it's very, very busy in the county, mm-hmm. and we would want to perhaps find a way to backfill or bring in extra staff so that we could still maintain our service to our own area and help them. And so that might require a consideration greater than we've had in the past financially.
Right. And all those financial impacts would be important for me to look at. All right. Because obviously our primary responsibility is to this immediate district area. The rest of this is either covered in other agenda items, or it's just informational about some of my activities, and unless the board has any questions about those. I just want to note that the very last item, the parking lot project, is completed, has been completed. we have a nice parking lot, and the work has been done, so that's of note. And with today's rain, it's draining well. There's no lake out there. So, and Tim finished today putting up the signage, so it's all has the handicap signage and the don't park here, it's an ambulance driveway, all that kind of stuff. So it's looking good. Are there any questions about the other items on my district report?
I have one about the Kathy Tanner discussions. And I first, as a board member, learned that Kathy Tanner had done an article, was reading it in the paper. And I would like to propose that if there is an outside contact by any press agency, that it be handled appropriately, but when it happens, the board members be notified so that an article about the district in the paper when it appears, should it appear, is not a surprise.
That's a good point.
I
have not seen the article.
I didn't know that it was in the paper yet.
Oh, yeah, it was in the Tribune.
Oh, okay.
About 2 days ago.
Not aware of it.
And you were nicely quoted, both of you.
Oh, good.
Well, maybe we should make you in charge of disseminating the Tribune stories.
I'll have to get a copy of that. I'd like to read it.
I would like to.
Yeah, that's a good point. If any member of the media, if I do an interview, I will brief the board on just the fact that that happens.
Yeah, just send an email out so if it hits the paper the next day, we're aware.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right. So I think that's it for my administrative report.
Well, I'd just like to also take a moment to thank you for the time you've put in this year so far. It probably seems much longer than the number of months, but in the spirit of Christmas and thank you and all that, I am grateful for the work you're doing and have done, and feels like you've been here a long time.
Thank you. It's been a very interesting ride. I still like being here, so that's good. But we have a good team. It's not just me. I may be the visible one or the one that's communicating, but I got a great team behind me. It's making all the difference.
Would you like to make a brief comment about the question over the cost of the parking lot that came up today?
There is a letter that was presented to me just 2 days ago. It wasn't in time to include it in this board packet or whatever the case may be. But there was the contractor has requested that we, to paraphrase, to renegotiate our agreement based on their perception of increased cost of materials. And I looked over our contract. I don't believe that we are contractually bound to that. And I'm preparing a response to them somewhat to that effect. The work's been done, and we're happy with the work, and we agreed on the price, and that's what we will remit to them. I don't feel that we are compelled contractually to increase the quote at this point after the fact, in a nutshell.
Okay, thank you. Lori, healthcare advocacy.
We didn't meet and I have nothing to report.
Okay, thank you very much. Bill?
The Finance Committee did meet, and I'm apologize for being delinquent on not having generated the minutes, but I will. We met with the administrator and discussed various billing alternatives for ambulance services, and have made a recommendation that we will talk about probably the next item on the agenda when it gets there to present the new billing system. So I'll hold off my comments until then. The other thing that the Finance Committee is going to be doing for the next meeting, hopefully, depending on when we can get the December financials, if we can get the December financials to the committee early in January, we can do a budget update, a mid-year budget update, and then present it to the board in January. Okay? If we're not able to get the financials for December in a timely manner to do that, we'll present the budget update in at the February meeting. That's our intent.
Do you have an idea of the date in January that you want to have your meeting so we can have a target to have that information to you before then?
When can you have the financials to me? Would be the first question.
We have to get the profit max
detail of the profit max.
I don't need the profit max detail.
No, just the expense.
Yeah.
Expenses. We can
find that in a few days.
Okay, why don't you get it to me and then I'll set a meeting up.
Okay.
Great. Thank you very much. Lori, do you have anything on the Grants Committee work?
Well, FEMA, the latest word from FEMA is that they will open up the grant, will put out the funding opportunity notice sometime after the first of the year, and then there'll be a 30-day window for submission. So since we, and we're still working towards that, since we took the Lucas device out of the grant application, I've had to rewrite quite a bit of it. And so now we are requesting funding for not only the power pots and the loading systems, but also two new EKG monitors. And so I have one more page to finish, and then I will get that to the Grants Committee and then we'll get it to the rest of the board. I assume that that 30-day window means it'll be going in sometime during the first week of February or so. I think that's it. Fingers crossed and FEMA gets things pulled together. Other than that, that's all I've been working on. But we haven't had a meeting. We've been doing everything by email communication.
Okay. Any questions for Lori? Thank you. And Miguel is not here, and his committee did not meet.
Did we miss property and facilities?
Oh, to see Iggy, you're not here. I forget all about you. I'm sorry. Do you have a report?
No, the property and facilities committee did not meet, and we'll, the only plan for getting together in the future is once you and Dave Griffith do a walkthrough of the CHC facility, and then we have something to discuss with regards to preparing it for its next life.
Okay. I'll take that as a reminder as well, and try to reconnect with him as soon as Christmas is past. Thank you. So now we move on to regular business. Our first item is to review a proposal to reform the billing process for ambulance services.
All right. Yes, we have this small project. Joking, of course. Fairly extensive project that I think is to the point of bearing fruit. You have it in your packet, my analysis of the current state of our EMS billing services and the concerns, and then I examine different options, including outsourcing it to a different vendor, as well as doing it in-house. And I've got comparative analysis of the costs of those various options. My recommendation to the board is that we bring it in-house. We have staff that is experienced in medical billing and feels comfortable and confident that we could do that and do it well for the benefit of the district financially. I narrowed it down to two vendors for the in-house software. They are fairly similar in the tasks that they do. However, after demoing them and getting references from people who already use the services of these two companies, the AIM and the MP Technologies, my recommendation is that we go with the MP Technologies proposal, as it appears to be more user-friendly, easy for us to manage. It also has some extra features that the AIM product does not have that appear to be more efficient. And also the cost is slightly less to the district as well. So, summarize the details that are in your report, we're looking at an initial reduction in cost or a positive impact on our budget of around $49,000 per year. That's with a estimate of a 5% increase in revenue collection. Of course, if it's higher than that, then it will be those numbers will shift more to the positive. The timeline that I've set up is also attached there. We're looking at a 60 to 90 day window to full implementation from the time if I get board approval and we move forward to full implementation. And that would involve not only the setup phase, because there's a very detailed setup phase of getting the payers online and various things, and then training for Simone and Diane and myself and the rest of staff as far as that goes. So we're all familiar with how this works. And then eventually in that process, it's detailed in here, where I would notify ProfitMax per our contract, of a 30-day notice to quit services. And then at that date, we would fully transition, and they would drop off and we would take over. As projected, we're looking at the outside, at the end of March, to do that. As things may move more quickly, it may be less than that. But I want to be careful as we do the transition so that we're not in too much of a hurry and we miss things. So we're going to take our time and do it right the first time and make sure that it's all there so that we can do that. So what I'm asking for the board's action is to approve bringing the building in-house and then would include the MP Technologies and move forward with the project.
Mike, I have a question.
Wait, you couldn't see it, Iggy, but the head of the Finance Committee's mouth was open to speak.
go ahead, Iggy. Go ahead with your question.
I have a question with regard to getting files from ProfitMax and the period of time that we're going to give them to collect after termination. Can you go into that a little bit, or have you been unable to find out what format the file can be returned to us in?
Yes, there is some detail in their contract as to that process of transitioning. You know, when we stop utilizing their services, any accounts that they have claims that they've already received prior to that date, they would continue to try to collect and forward us the revenue from that. I'm trying to clarify how long that process is. When is the absolute end date of that? If they don't collect on something for, say, 180 days, does it then become stagnant and not collectible or whatever? So those kind of details I would work on with them and with the new vendor as well, because that's part of their transition process as well.
And what about the format of files? Have you had any conversations with ProfitMax about that, or are you waiting for the go-ahead from the board?
Exactly. I have not approached ProfitMax yet because I wanted to get the approval of the board before I initiate that conversation. I'm not sure what their response or attitude is going to be, so I didn't want to initiate that conversation until it was necessary.
Well, I would like to make a motion that...
No, it's not quite time, Iggy. We have to hear from a few more people before we entertain a motion, including the public.
And Bill.
Thank you. I'll come back, I promise.
Thank you, Madam President. As the chairman of the Finance Committee, I'd like to say that the Finance Committee has participated in this process from the beginning, that a member of the Finance Committee, at least one member, has participated in each of the presentations by the two vendors. Okay? We've had long discussions about the pros and cons of one versus the other. We talked at length with Mike about the importance and the seriousness of this decision, that this is our revenue other than tax revenue that we are now going to bring in-house. The decision was made not to, at the time of cutover, go out to ProfitMax and bring all the old stuff in, because at that point, most of the old stuff is in fact very old, and we want to keep the new system as clean as possible from day one, starting out with items that the staff has entered, that the staff has processed, that the staff has made all the necessary steps to collect on it. So as accounts age out, and we see aging accounts, it's truly aging accounts that we did by ourselves, that we are responsible for. Had we loaded in at that point of the cutover all the old and very old ProfitMax accounts in there, it would have been extra work for staff to get them into the new system. And as we looked at aging, there'd always be, well, it's not us that's not collecting, it's ProfitMax that's not performing. So rather than get ourselves in a future situation where we're trying to figure out responsibility for something that's not being done, by keeping it clean and starting from day one with the staff's efforts into the new system, we know who is responsible at any given time for what receivables that have not been collected. There's a lot of things that are involved in this, a lot of things that we know about, that we've had discussions about, such things as now record keeping, record retention periods, how long do we have to keep what documents in-house, because when a payer, particularly a government payer, be it Medicare or Medicaid, decides to do an audit, okay, which they have the right to do, okay, they never audit the current year. They always come in and say, we're going to be auditing 2016-2017, okay, for an example. So we have to have all of those documents, okay, on site and available, okay, to present to an auditor. And that's one of the many list of items that Mike and the staff have ahead of them to put that all together. But after looking at the two alternatives, both AIM and MP Technologies and the outside vendors, it is the Finance Committee's recommendation that the district bring it in-house and utilize the software services of MP Technology.
Any questions, Lori?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for all the work this time.
Well, I think it's really important. This is, like Bill alluded to, you know, within the tax revenue, this is our bread and butter, so to speak. And I think it's very important that we make every penny count so that we can provide the services and do the things that we want to do.
What particular endpoints will you be looking for to decide or to figure out that it's been the right decision and it doesn't need tweaking in a major way?
Oh, I think it's probably going to be a 6 to 9 month period by the time we go through the training, okay, and the learning curve and deal with ProfitMax and how they're going to react to this. I suspect not very positively, but who knows. And then as we go through a couple of monthly cycles looking at the aging reports, and making sure that if we build 40 transports, do we see 40 transports in all the different reports? so that it continues to tie, and each and every month we develop a discipline where we make sure if there's 50 transports here, there's 50 transports there, and so on, and we tie it together. So it's going to be a learning curve.
And that's part of the support that comes from the vendor as well. It doesn't just end once we purchase the, or when we sign the agreement. It's an ongoing, continual support. Simone and the staff will be able to call if they have questions or concerns or issues or whatever. The Aegean Technologies appears to be well suited to provide continued support for indefinitely.
Any questions or comments from the public or the staff? Iggy? Oh, I'm sorry. We have.
I just wanted to say.
Excuse me. I must ask that you come to the microphone and give your name.
These are recorded, so we have to be able to hear your voice. The recorder has to be. Here you
go. Right there.
There should be a microphone there.
There is.
It may or may not be on.
Well, this is for me. I just wanted to say I really appreciate the acknowledgement of our director's office, our operation director that you mentioned earlier. He does a lot for us over there, and I know that what an asset he is, and everything from managing our training from a new employee. So all of our training and managing our fleet of ambulances to the maintenance of our facilities. And I just urge the board to take action to secure the assets that he brings. And because it feels a lot more secure for me as an employee having that support there. So I hope all that makes sense. And I wasn't really prepared to speak today, but I feel like it's important to say that, so we want to keep that there forever as long as we can.
Thank you very much. Iggy?
Hey, who spoke?
Sorry.
One of the staff.
Jamie Wright, one of our new EMTs, presenting EMTs.
Could you summarize the comment, because I could barely hear.
One of the things that we neglected to ask you when you came up to the podium was to state your name, which is what your full name.
So, would you like me to repeat what I said?
I just a one sentence summary of. I couldn't tell if you had concerns or what.
She was very complimentary of all the efforts that Tim, as operations manager, has been doing, and hopes that in the future that he will continue to have the board's support in all his efforts as operations manager.
Thank you.
I see.
Iggy, I am now truly handing the floor over to you.
Oh, so I'd like to make a motion that we adopt the recommendation made by our administrators to switch the billing system from out-of-house to in-house, and that we authorize the administrator to enter into a contract with MP Technologies at the earliest practicable date and move forward with the project as outlined in the staff report.
And Iggy, if I could ask you to add an amendment to include the termination of the contract with ProfitMax at the appropriate time.
Okay. So moved.
I would like to second Iggy's motion.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? No. So 4-0. I mean, no one, not mine. Thank you. Thanks a lot for a lot of work to get to this point.
Thank you, Mama.
Item number 2 is to discuss allowing or requesting that the district administrator participate in the California Department of General Services Surplus Acquisition Program.
Yes.
It's on page 46 of the packet.
43 in the
okay.
original package.
Thank you.
Yes, I've been working on the, another dual project where we can participate in the surplus activities at the state and federal level for supplies and equipment that they have available to various entities, including special districts. As part of that process, there is, I think we have it attached, yes, the next page is a copy of, they have a form that is a resolution that the board has to pass if authorizing me as the administrator to be the point of contact for those goods and services, or for that process, has to be voted on by the board to pass this resolution, which is the form we have there. And that's pretty much it. It's pretty straightforward, but it's a requirement to move any further in this process.
Any questions?
No, but we apparently have to read that as the resolution.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to read the resolution?
Well, I think a board member needs to make the resolution.
I'd like to
make a motion that be it resolved by the Canberra Community Healthcare District and hereby ordered that Mike and or as administrator which are listed below shall be and thereby authorized as our representatives to acquire surplus property through the auspices of the California State Agency for Surplus Property and accept responsibility for payment of incidental fees by the Surplus Property Agency under the terms and conditions accompanying this form.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any comment from the public or staff? Any further question or discussion from the board? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Against?
Aye.
4-0. Thank you very much. We're now up to item number 3, and we're discussing the possible action on requesting an estimate or requesting or working with a CPA to prepare the IRS Form 1023 to support the district trust.
Yes, so this is part of the trust account in the bank. There is a IRS Form 1023 that is required to establish the trust as a nonprofit or 501c3. And then there's a copy of the form attached with all the details in the packet. And my recommendation is that that we complete this form, of course, and looking for direction from the board if they would like me to devote myself and staff time to do it. But my preference is that we at least solicit the services of the recommended CPA to review it prior to being submitted to the IRS, or have the other option is have the CPA do its entire thing without my assistant or without me. So those are kind of your options. I did get a quote from the CPA, and if he were to do it completely, between $2,500 and $3,500 is his fee to perform this function, if you just review my work prior to submission, it would be between $1,500 and $2,000 for his services for that.
We have a CPA on our board of directors. What does that CPA think of this?
I think it's a good idea to involve the external CPA, and I would recommend option 2, which is for Mike to put together the initial information on the form and then have the outside CPA review it and make all necessary changes.
It might be helpful for the staff and community to know that this is sort of step 2 and the final step in having our trust be full and complete and allow us to to get donations that are tax deductible to the full extent of the law for our purposes of as stated in our trust. So this is, it's not an option whether or not we fill out the forms. It's having it done to the standard that would expedite us being completely green-lighted as a full trust or foundation.
Yep.
So, any other questions?
Well, I have a question with regards to the CPA that Mike contacted. Is it the CPA that O'Leary and Wallace recommended?
Yes, primarily because the CPA is familiar with these forms,
okay,
along with the trust. He has a great deal of experience.
I would like to make a motion that we authorize the administrator to engage the services of the outside CPA under option 2, where Mike would initially prepare the document and the CPA would review and make recommended changes.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion or comment? There being
can we set a time that Mike's work is to be accomplished by?
Don't we do what we always do and say as soon as you possibly can and make it top priority to everything we give him?
Well, I'm just, you know, because he's got a lot on his plate. We want to say to be completed by January 31st, let's say, or?
I think that's reasonable. Per the law, as I examine this, we have 17 months, but I don't want to wait that long to file this form. So I think end of January is reasonable.
I would like to amend my motion to include the date of January 31st, 2020 as the completion date for this project.
Okay. Does the second agree?
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 No one is opposed. 4-0. Thank you very much. We're now on item E4, which is a proposal to replace the district website.
And Barbara, prior to that, may I ask a question about the CPA?
I'm sorry?
May I make a question about the CPA process?
I'm sorry, that item is gone. After the vote, there's no further comment from the public. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
So this is item E4, page 72, on replacing the district website.
Yes, so I prepared a proposal to replace our current district website that is in part of me to discover my homework. It's been in place approximately 20 years, and is outdated in its technology and in some of its features that are now required by statute that we have. Just yesterday, for example, I received information from the CSDA regarding changes to special district websites that are required as of January 1st, and I want to make sure that we are compliant, and we can be. It's totally doable. We are in some ways, we're not in others, but it's something that I feel very confident we can manage. As you have previously seen the demos, there is a proposed new website that has been worked on. It is not what I would say completed, because it's easily editable, and we're going to, if I get board approval to move into this project, I will continue to refine that new website to where it meets all of our needs and is the way we like it. But it is, that's one of the advantages, several advantages I see to it, is that it's easy for me to edit and go in. I don't have to do a long process to make any changes. If we need to upload board packets, for example, or make any changes or whatever, it's much more user-friendly from a technology standpoint. I really like that. The details are in fine details are listed here. Fiscal impact is minimal. We've already paid for the services of our Jeremy Kattner to prepare the demo. The further editing is going to be less costly than the original setup that he's already been paid to do. So it's going to have minimal fiscal impact. The cost of hosting is going to be the same. Things like that are all transparent. So anyway, I'm just looking for my recommendation is that the board authorizes me to move forward with that project. And we'll begin work on that to finalize it. Again, it's a work in progress, and I will be doing that work along with staff and board input from the various committees and so forth.
A question to you, Mike. Am I correct in understanding that the current website does not allow the employees to come into the system to check schedules or whatever?
Correct. It does not have a staff portal, and that's one of the things I like about the new one, is they would have a staff portal where they can check schedules or various things that will make it easier for them and for us from a management standpoint to manage staff online.
Okay. Do you know off the top of your head whether the insurance coverage that we have with SDRMA covers breaches and hacks into our system?
I will double check, but I believe that is part of our insurance policy, is to cover those kind of items. But I will definitely be part of the implementation, and I will make sure that that's in there somewhere.
Okay. And I would seriously recommend you consider, when you have a final product of the new website, that you can see if you can find somebody who's willing to try to hack into it to see if there's a breach. And there are outside companies that do that routinely for a service. And you know, I maybe go down to Cuesta College, is there a computer science class or the university or something, and say, here it is, you've got 3 days, see if you can hack it.
Vet it for any gaps
That's a good point.
So backdoors that we're not aware of, that's a good, absolutely. Yeah.
Especially with the employee access.
Oh yeah, with employee information, I'm very concerned that you know, someone could go in and change schedules or delete schedules, and all of a sudden you've got no staff.
Right. And there's been discussion that as part of this project will continue to roll, we'll refine this thing definitely to tweak it to manage, you know, to where we like it. There'll be new things that we want to put on there or whatever, old things we want to change. But one of the thoughts was even a portal for the patients, our clients, to access if they want to either go online, for example. That's a feature that may be feasible. However, security is concerned with that, and I want to make sure that whatever, however we set that up, that it is absolutely as secure as humanly possible.
Okay. The other thing is, as down the road, as you're transitioning from our old website to a new one, we need to make sure that we do a full update, because our information on our current website historically is about 10 years out of date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's been one of my big concerns. And when I see items that need updated, it's not easily updated by myself or the in-house staff. I have to reach out to Jeremy or you know whatever, and it's just a little bit challenging. Where the new website, if I need to update something, I can do it in minutes.
And like you know, for example, the board's pictures are on there. Wouldn't it be nice if every one of the staff also had their pictures and with their names and you know just like a two sentence bio, if that doesn't violate any privacy act, and I doubt that it does. I think that would be wonderful for the not only for the community, but anyway, for all of us to know who we are as a entire group.
Right. And yeah, those are things I would definitely be looking at. One of the other issues that unique somewhat to this district is we have obviously a high volume of tourists, And one of the features I like about the new website is at a mouse click, they can change the language to whatever their home language is. If they're visiting from another country or whatever, and they get a bill from us, for example, they can come and they want to come to our website to see what the heck this is all about. It's easy for them to translate it to their home language. And then if they, as I stated, you know, about the paying the bill online, if they're in another country and they want to go ahead and pay their bill online, they would be able to access that portal and proceed easily. I think that will further enhance their abilities.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
I'd also recommend you look at how much information we have out there. I'm not sure it makes much sense to have how many transports we made in 1996.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
By month, by type.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some very ancient historical data that I think could be moved off and just keep what's pertinent and
thank you.
Recently historical.
I think this is important because it is something that we want the public to access, is that you get people who are naive to beta test this for you.
Mm-hmm.
And not just, you know, somebody who has no idea what this healthcare district does. To get on there. And you know, not just one person. If you get a group of 10 from, you know, different ages and computer capability, that would be really helpful, because we really want to make sure that they can easily access the information thereafter.
Yeah, definitely reach out to the community at large and just do that. It's similar to our billing process. There's going to be a vetting and a trial period of looking for holes in the system. Same thing with this project.
Mm-hmm.
Is we're gonna test it and test it again until we're, you know, and I think it's important we periodically test it again just to make sure that nothing new has popped up or there's new information that has become vulnerable for some reason. So I think that, you know, once somebody asked me, you know, can you present a website that is done? And my response was, I don't think they're ever done. I think it's a continual process that you go through.
I'm sorry, Iggy. Go ahead.
Well, I just, when Bill was asking his question, I thought he was aiming in a different direction. And that direction is, I think one of your objectives, Mike, is to make sure we have backup for all functions.
Yes.
So when we establish a new website, we want to make sure that we have backup in case Jeremy decides to go fishing for 3 or 4 weeks.
That's one of the features I'm most excited about is if Jeremy's not available, I can still make edits. It's easy for me to access and do what I need to do.
But if there's a technical issue with it, we probably need to have technical backup. But maybe I'm wrong.
Actually, you're right, and that's part of a separate project I'm working on is IT backup, and probably be on next month's agenda. But it's related to this because this is an IT item.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
I had the unique opportunity of being able to spend time online remotely with Mike and with Jeremy to go through for about 2 hours page by page. And I had expressed concerns. I'll be very frank, I thought the design needed to be updated. I thought there were too many photos. You know, I had all kinds of big picture concerns about the fact that it looked it had patches of text that looked like the kind of patches you have on your shirt that looked like you'd have like several patches on a page that disturbed my ability to feel comfortable reading it and things like that. And I was very honest and we had a very active dialogue about it. But I would like to see most of that fixed before it goes live, because I think that when you have a new website, it looks like this is what we're most able to do. And that would be my only concern, is that we approve it, but that we get it up to a level that looks modern and clean. And there are some things on it that we've talked about that are going to need to be changed. So maybe right before, if we approve it in concept, maybe before it actually goes live, we could look at it as a revised website and make sure.
Oh, I think that's an absolute.
Yeah, no, that's true. I just, at this point, I'm looking for approval to move forward with the project.
Yeah.
And then once we get it, you know, and that meeting she was talking about, you know, I kept the note, I took notes from that, and there's a lot of productive input by all three of us. And now we'll sit in, you know, once we get approval, we'll start doing the work to that end.
So the sentence under your recommendation, the last sentence says, the new website will not go live until the content has been updated to meet current needs and compliances. Does that mean that it will be back on the agenda next month, for example, before, or will we re-vote on it then or something?
That's my plan, is by next month's meeting, I'll be able to say, okay, we've made those things happen. Here's the as finished as it's going to be at this point, you know, because like I said, it's an ongoing process. Every month I'm going to be tweaking, adding, whatever. But we'll end up with...
We'll see the pre-launch product as it is.
Pre-launch product, exactly.
And is that something we can see ahead of time?
Yeah, we can do a demo again. We have a demo link that's not live to the public yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, visible for review prior to going live. Yeah, absolutely.
Any questions or comments from the public or the staff?
Can I add one more thing?
Yeah, I guess so.
Mike, I'd like you to look at the Cloverdale website. And there's one feature that I would like the board to consider that is provided by that website. And what it is it tells you dispatch information.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if an ambulance is out making a transport, their website tells you.
Right. It's a Twitter feed, and I was considering that. The only thing I'm concerned about, we ought to be careful, is HIPAA information. It can't include the address.
Well, they include the address.
That's not HIPAA compliant.
Yeah, that would be a problem. So,
but I'd like you to talk to them, mm-hmm, and see why it is they think it's in compliance.
I will. I'll look at it. And there is the app that we looked at, PulsePoint, does something similar to that without a specific address. So they're
or, you know, it may, yeah. Okay. Anyway, take a look at it. I just when I saw that on their website, I thought, this is kind of gee whiz.
Yeah.
And not only gee whiz, but informative.
Yes. Well, and even things like emergency alert information can be put on a website similar to that, where there's a major calamity in our area, the public could go to our website and get newsfeed information that is pertinent. So we can look at those kind of, they call them widgets.
I just thought I'd like to have you consider that in the overall.
Yeah, I'll look at it, but I'll just be careful that we're staying compliant.
So we're not voting, we're just giving approval to continue with the project?
We would need a motion to take it to the next level.
I would like to make a motion that Mike continue developing the new website and when completed, before going live, to bring it back to the board for final approval.
Second.
Any comment or discussion at this point? All in favor?
Aye.
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 So that's 4-0. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Now, this is the most exciting thing on our agenda, is approving our committee dates for 2020. This is done in December every year. It's the dates that are here can be changed if necessary as we approach these dates. We also can add special meetings, emergency meetings, if need be. But these would be our regular meetings, and they are the third Wednesday of the month throughout. I will note that there is no change in the third Wednesday on November or December, as it's listed here, but that was done with an eye towards how close those dates hit towards the Thanksgiving or Christmas holiday, and it did not seem to require that we change them in those cases this year.
I'll plan my vacations accordingly.
And I did, just for discussion, I did review the calendar, and none of these dates conflict with existing holidays. I don't plan on holidays or the week of a holiday.
Any questions or comments from the public and staff or from the board? We need a motion to approve our proposed board meeting schedule for 2020.
I move to approve the proposed board meeting schedule for the upcoming year 2020.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
4-0. Thank you very much. Item number E6 is to discuss authorizing the administrator to begin exploring the possibilities associated with construction of a new district facility to replace the existing aging buildings. This item was placed on the agenda after a sort of ad hoc interchange. We were able to have talking about what the current crew quarters might need soon in order to meet the needs of staff, and it developed into a discussion of what we might be able to do in a more thorough and valuable way. So,
thank you. Yes, in this small project, if approved, it would enable me to start exploring the possibilities, as it says. Obviously, there's an enormous amount of detail that goes into that that would come forth later in later discussions and so forth. Basically, I was motivated to bring this to you because the building we're in, as you well know, is approximately 70 years old, and I think we're faced with a tipping point in decision whether we infuse a fairly large amount of money into that existing building or we divert those funds into a new building that would better meet our needs and our compliances and so forth. And in my view, that is a wiser decision, is to do that, to spend the time, the money, and the energy on a solution rather than a mandate. And I think that this would be, you know, going down kind of a hierarchical list here of needs. The crews, for example, deserve a nice place to work as far as their station, their living quarters, everything from sleeping and rest facilities, bathroom facilities, kitchen facilities, you name it. This is their home away from home. And I think they work very hard for us, and I think they deserve those things. And we could do that with the existing building, but it would cost us a fair amount of money to do that, that I think would be better sent in that other direction. And so there's that priority. There's vehicle maintenance. If we can provide a better place to park and store our vehicles, they're going to last us longer, which is a cost savings. Being outside in the salt, fog, air, as we've already seen, incurs corrosion and other issues. So there's the maintenance of equipment and vehicles. There's storage. We currently pay for storage at an off-site location, and where we could have better storage on-site. I don't want to get into the fine details here, but those are some of the things that come to mind. We even talked about the potential for a urgent care center on our property. The new building could facilitate that that process as well. And of course, our administrative offices. We've recently, as we were working on our computer system, it's challenging because the building is not wired for it. When it was built, there was no computers and internet and so forth. So we piecemeal together solutions, but a more modern building would facilitate a more efficient office. product as well. So all of those things, on and on and on, would go into this project, and what I'm asking for is board approval to just begin that process of exploration, of identifying needs, identifying costs, so forth and so on, funding, you know, how would we pay for such a construction project. All of those things, I think, are necessary, are important, and I would like to do that, but I would like board's approval to proceed with that vision.
So just one of the things, that's, just so you get a sense of why this, why now, and how much bandwidth, all the questions you might have, is that the question that came up was basically, you know, how do we get an oven, a working oven, into the building? And it turns out that it might actually even require sprinklers installed to be able to provide that because of the nature of an oven and the nature of that building. And so it just, having been on the board now for many years and having piecemealed solutions that never made anybody, could never have made anybody happy, and that never really finished the job, it seemed like it might be something that we could get the community behind with a bond issue, which would be extremely explicit about exactly what we would do, and would not be that costly. Working with my husband, who knows a lot about this, to be frank, it looked like it would probably be for a expensive home. It would be based not on parcel but on valuation of the property, about $50 a year for a fairly expensive home, and a less expensive home would be less. So it's not an onerous burden to do that kind of a bond thing necessarily, and it would be highly specific, ideally, with an actual floor plan and all of that. The other question is, does our current building, and will it, lend itself to being rentable, even by urgent care, given its current status and its diminishing abilities over time? So the question before us might be, how do we maintain our ability to provide healthcare services in a building we own, and give the crews a better place to work and habitate? And that's the question that I felt that needed board approval, just to even have the administrator begin to work on that. And the president next year may decide to appoint a committee, either separate from the facilities committee or the facilities committee, to assist and support that initial inquiry. Those were our thoughts, and I know that they come seemingly out of nowhere, but I personally thought, I can't see putting another $20,000 into this building to get sprinklers and an oven, but that's how it got here.
I don't disagree with your concept or the intent of this, but we do have board committees, and it seems like this effort should be within the Property and Facilities Committee. Versus,
I agree 100%. I think we've gotten the cart before the horse here.
Yeah.
Well, this would then, I mean, it's possible. I understand this is the Facilities Committee, but this is a much bigger, to do this project, it would involve the Finance Committee. It would involve the Communications Committee. There would be no committee. It would involve healthcare advocacy. So I think this is bigger than any committee, from my experience. This is all hands on deck approach to the various facets. And I apologize if by putting this on the agenda, it looks like I overstepped the Facilities Committee. But it was only because I believe it involves every committee. And so that's why my thinking was that if we allowed the administrator to do some initial exploration, bring back, it might be, he might come back and say, you know, it's over the top, or he might find a very simple solution and say, you know, I don't think we need to take this on this year. But that's why I would recommend that we allow that initial bit and know that every single committee would be involved. This is not one-sided. Just two people on it or four people on a committee is not going to do it.
You're right that it needs to have, at some point in the processes, input from other committees, finance, etc. But if the administrator embarks upon this himself, and it takes, let's say, 12 months to put it all together, what does the property facilities committee do during the interim?
Well, first, my thinking of it was not that it would be a 12-month process. The initial exploration would be getting a sense of what the current status of the building really, working with the facilities committee, getting a sense of what the timing would be like if we were to do a bond issue, some of the basics that have some hard stops, and then bringing just the core information back to the board in a month or two or three at the latest with that core information so that we could say, gee, we have a million other questions, or we could say, stop, it's obviously not a direction we want to go, or whatever. But I honestly think it would involve so much that it would be good if our administrator could just get a general sense. I don't know the deadline for submitting a bond issue for the November 2020 ballot. It'd be good to know that. It's potentially doable. He may come back and say, there's no way we could meet that hard stop. So before we get a lot going, I thought I had about 10 facts that I'd want answered before I would be able to get too excited. And so that just seemed to identify those questions, bring it back to the board in a month, and then see what we want to do.
On top of everything else Mike's got to do, I don't think we can pile this on top of what else he's got to do in the next month, maybe in the next two or three months. But we also have a report that I think the last board paid somewhere on the order of $20,000 to produce. And why don't we refer back to Banner Construction's report with regards to crew facilities?
Okay, what Banner Construction
is that overtaken by them somehow?
Well, I sat on the board for that, and I will be frank. That was a very expensive discussion of an interior remodel of a building that had significant problems, and that's very different than this. So I don't, having read that document in detail, I don't think it did not in any way address how we would maintain or improve our role in providing a suitable facility for healthcare in town, and it mostly focused on a kitchen and with a very high cost to remodel. And so I don't believe that document does in any way what I'm personally interested in pursuing. If we don't evaluate the potential of pursuing this in this year, we will have a continual deterioration of crew quarters for the next 3 years until we could get a bond on the ballot at that time. And that could, in and of itself, be very costly. Lastly, I have a very good relationship with Mike, and if he felt that this was more than he could take on, I think he would tell us.
Absolutely. And again, this is, from my perspective, this would be an exploration. I would get some more concrete information for you. So when do we have this file for a bond in the November ballot, for example? That's a good question. I find that out. That shouldn't take too long. You know, things of that nature, I believe I can do as the first phase of this project is just fact-finding. that I feel comfortable to do. Now, breaking ground and constructing a building, obviously that's a much bigger phase, or series of phases, but that would come later. And I think this is just an initial step on a journey that is, I believe, very important. I'm willing to commit the time to do it. And I don't think it's that I'm Superman. I think our staff is very capable of supporting me with some of that, those issues. And it may involve, even at some point, soliciting outside entities, you know, architect, for example, or other people in the community that may have expertise or input on this project. So all of that being said, I think that the initial exploration is feasible for me to do. And I think it's very necessary.
So what you're really proposing is looking at a long-term solution for this problem, but you have some short-term issues that do we just ignore? I mean, do we say to the crew that you still have to, we're working towards this, it may take us 2 to 3 years to get a new building put up.
Right.
In the meantime, you don't have access to an oven.
Right.
So my concern is that we have some issues that are in front of our face right now.
Right.
And I
want to examine that as well. There may be some short-term solutions. You know, can I get some form of a kitchen that is acceptable in the short term? I would need to have a conversation, obviously, with G. Paul Ainsworth about code, you know, complying with code and things like that. Or even one of the options that we discussed anecdotally was maybe some kind of a meal voucher system where when the crews are here for, you know, an extended period of time and you know, hot meal, maybe there's a little restaurant meal voucher or something. You know, so yeah, I'm looking at short-term alternatives while we work on a long-term solution, because I don't want to wait 2 or 3 years before they have the ability to cook a meal. Absolutely. And even once if we do move forward with the project, we may need to secure temporary quarters for them while the demolition and the construction is accomplished. So there's all of those things I want to look at and consider. But obviously their health and well-being is the top priority.
So then is it the best solution for you to come up with your analysis of what's needed and take that to Property and Facilities Committee and then work together?
Absolutely. That would probably be the first step, is to just identify needs, priorities, prioritize those needs. And I would work with the committees, as Barbara alluded to. You know, I wanted to approach the full board with this because it is such a big issue, a big project. But moving forward, I'm going to be working with every committee in detail to solicit their expertise on each aspect of this project. First of all, just to determine it's feasible. I may have a vision that's not feasible. I think it is, but we'll see after I get all this solicited input, we'll see how feasible it is. And, it's definitely going to be a team effort, calling everybody.
Lori, I like your comment that it, at the end of the day, is a property and facilities mm-hmm. issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're talking about giving Mike some time frame to answer some of these initial bedrock questions. Mm-hmm. And then he makes his report to the Property and Facilities Committee, who then makes decisions about go forward, go sideways, stop, whatever, and go back to the board.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The only thing I would think that it's more than just, I mean, as a member of the property and current Property and Facilities Committee, I obviously like the idea that that committee would see it. But I think it would need a great deal of work from each committee, for example, without any question. So I think, depending on the time frame, it could be in the same month all the committees could get the issue and look at it from their particular perspective, rather than make it one committee looking at it just from the property point of view, because the property point of view will go nowhere unless there is the financing, be it a bond issue or whatever, makes sense, or unless the ability to recruit for whatever is being discussed appears to work for the healthcare advocacy committee. So to me, it's really all of us in our various positions looking at, does this make sense from whatever committee perspective we have?
Are you suggesting a new committee or a task force or something that there is not currently a committee where this should reside in?
Possibly, although the work of deciding committee structure would begin with the new year and the new president.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I wasn't envisioning that it then become the sole responsibility and property and facilities, but at least they would have the framework they could then share with the other committees who could then respond.
Right.
I just think by you saying we need new facilities, and for all those reasons from a healthcare advocacy point, it's like, well, what are we going to be going out to, or even communications, what are we going to be going to tell the public? We don't really know what's been decided.
Yes, absolutely. And the communications and healthcare advocacy, committees are going to be a key conduit for that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're going to be very transparent with the public,
mm-hmm.
solicit their needs, their input, and keep them in the loop as well.
So I can tell you right now, if you could have a community education space, that would be fabulous, rather than me making space all over town.
One of the thoughts I had is we may want to design, as part of this design, a facility that meets our needs of the, and when I say our, I mean the community's healthcare needs, is defined in our mission statement and our bylaws. And that could include a room that we could have board meetings in, we could have wellness classes in, CPR classes, whatever. It makes sense to me to add that to the list of things to have the architect look at.
I think we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Sure, yes.
On what the building should look like versus...
Yeah, that's much further down the
process.
That's part of that process of assessing needs and seeing what that is.
So what we need is either a motion to address the item in whichever way you wish to consider it.
I think I would like to make a motion that this project be added to the Property and Facilities Committee, and they report back to the board in a reasonable amount of time of the various alternatives and the feasibility thereof to start making long-term decisions about buildings and space.
I'll second that.
Any discussion or comment from the public or the staff? Any further discussion from Iggy, you're the current chair of the Property and Facilities Committee. You have any further comment?
No.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? It's 4-0. Thank you very much. And now, our year comes to an end. I am very grateful for the chance to have been president, and I have learned a lot and have felt a great deal of support and appreciate it all. And it's time to choose new officers. I am fully in support of the need to give a variety of people the chance to serve as president, and so I would not entertain, even if it were, maybe it's presumptuous to suggest, but I would not entertain a nomination for me to stay on as president. And I would entertain a nomination, please, for someone else to take on the role.
I would like to nominate Iggy Fedoroff as president for the next calendar year.
I'll second that.
Second. Very good. Is there any discussion among... you want to say anything?
No, I think that he'd be an excellent choice. We have a lot of talent on our board. I think all of us at some point are capable of doing everything and anything. But at this point, I think that I'd like to recommend Iggy.
Iggy, would you accept such a nomination?
Yes.
Is there any comment from the public or the staff? Is all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
No one opposed? 4-0. Thank you very much. And congratulations, Iggy. We all are here to help serve the district and to support you in any way we can.
I would like to make a nomination for the position of board vice president. Is this an appropriate time to do that?
Yes, it is.
Sorry, I didn't hear the answer.
What's
yes.
the nomination?
He wants, yeah, it's we need to
yes.
move on to
yes.
select a vice president and a secretary.
Okay, so I would like to nominate Bill Wright for the position of vice president of the board of directors of the Cambria Community Healthcare District for the year 2020.
Excellent. Is there a second?
Second.
Would Bill be willing to so serve?
Yes.
Excellent. Any discussion from the public or staff? Any further discussion from the board? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any, it was 4-0, so congratulations, Bill.
Thank you.
Now we need a secretary.
Silence.
Miguel's not here.
You know what? I would like to nominate Dr. Miguel Hernandez, even though he's absent, because we need to, in my opinion, we need to get Miguel more involved in the workings of the board, because he, I think, still feels after 1 year a bit uncomfortable, and so I would propose that he be the secretary for 2020.
I believe that's a good suggestion, Iggy, but if we're going to go forward with that, if I was Miguel, I would like to have the ability to say yes or no, and maybe we could defer this item to the next board meeting.
The bylaws require that it be done at the December meeting, so we would have to go through the process of changing the bylaws, unfortunately. The secretary...
No.
The secretary job seems... It's not heavy duty, but it is an important job since there are documents that require the signature of the secretary in order to move forward.
Well, then I hereby nominate Barbara Bronson-Gray to be secretary for the year 2020.
On a month-to-month basis.
Sorry.
I said on a month-to-month basis.
Second.
Would Lori be willing to do it?
Not if a lot of signatures are involved. No.
So beautiful.
I can barely hear what's going on.
I'm just mumbling.
Barbara has not officially accepted the nomination yet.
No, has she officially turned it down?
Oh, Barbara officially turned the nomination down?
No, she has neither accepted nor declined.
Oh, I see. She's on the fence.
I will accept.
She said that she will accept.
All right, so good. And then was it seconded?
I'll second it.
Any comment from the public or the staff?
I'm just curious how...
I need to, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Jamie Wright, EMT, Cambria.
Speak loudly so we can get that.
Just curious how this works. Like, are there other options for election for people coming in, or is it just isolated?
Oh, well, the board is elected by the general public.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. It's a good question. And once we're elected, then we sit on the board, and then it's the board members who then decide who the leadership will be in a given year. It's a 12-month term.
All right.
And that's a good question, though. I appreciate you asking it.
Yeah, I'm just interested in how these things come to
be. We're publicly elected by the people of San Simeon, Cambria, and the rural areas.
Okay, great.
Every year, there's two up and then three.
Okay, so all in favor of Barbara Bronson Gray serving as secretary?
Aye.
No one opposed? 4-0. Thank you very much. And congratulations, Iggy.
Congratulations, Barbara, for going from president to secretary in one day.
In an odd way, it feels like a promotion.
Oh, no. So the opposite is true for me.
Yeah.
I have one quick question. This is effective January 1st.
It's effective now.
Or right now. Okay. So after this meeting is adjourned, the new officers are in place.
Yes. If we had further items, the gavel would be handed over to Iggy at this very moment, as I understand.
So now,
So we. But
setting up committees, can that be deferred to January's meeting?
Yes, it can be. And the only requirement is that the president can't serve as the chairman of the committee.
Right, right. So I would like to defer it to January. Is that obviously I can't continue as chair of the Property and Facilities Committee, but Bill can continue as chair of the Finance Committee, can he not?
Yes. Everything else is up to you and your ability to talk people into doing things.
Yeah. Okay. And I'd like to then be able to take the time to do that. Maybe for the purposes of continuing the work of the Property and Facilities Committee, Barbara, maybe you would be willing to become the chair of the Property and Facilities Committee, and then I would become a member, so we would just switch roles.
Okay.
Does anybody have any objection to that?
No, but might I suggest Miguel as a potential member for Properties and Facilities?
I think that you, as president, should go off to the mountain and sit down and just contemplate the total picture and then make sure the people you appoint want to do it
and then
announce it.
An excellent thing. And please don't bring Mohammed's name into this. Only the mouth.
Right. That's all I
said. Okay.
Any declaration of future agenda items that things you might want to be sure are in the January board meeting's agenda?
Well, the establishment of the various standing and ad hoc committees.
Okay, I'd like to tentatively put a mid-year budget update, depending on when we get the December financials, to see if we can make the January 15th date, which seems a bit aggressive, but we will try.
That'd be great.
I'd like to suggest the Monterey contract cost evaluation.
And I think that's an excellent one, too.
And approval of the FEMA grant proposal.
I can barely hear what you said, Lori.
Approval by the board for the FEMA grant proposal.
FEMA grant?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yes.
Okay. Any others?
Now, you know you're not limited to those, Iggy. You can, you know.
Right, no, I understand. Well, hearing no other items, then I would like to adjourn the closed session.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks.